Have you ever been involved in an activity that you were no longer excited about? Has your job lost its luster? Do you feel there is more out there for you to give to the world? On today's episode, Knowing When to Step Away from Something, I'm going to help you recognize the signs it's time to move on, even if hope is whispering otherwise. Welcome to the Hope is Not a Plan podcast, where we address tough questions head on, face our problems, and highlight our hopes by providing actionable planning steps to improve ourselves, mind, body, and spirit. Now, let's get logged in and get locked on to this episode of the Hope is Not a Plan podcast. This episode was inspired by my recent decision to step away from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I practiced Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about 5.5 years, and looking back on my decision to stop training, I realized the thought process I followed and some of the exercises I undertook over a year or two, honestly, were applicable to assessing whether to stay in a job. And you could apply this to other things as well. But today I'm going to share 5 considerations and exercises plus a bonus concept I'm sharing that have helped me assess whether to stay in a career field. So jumping right in, the first is that you've lost your passion. Think of a job you used to be very passionate about. Or could be the one you have now, but do you remember the first time you felt that initial spark of excitement for the new job fading? How did it make you feel? Did you question it? Did you call yourself a quitter and then push it off? Did the dread of doing the same job come back? For me, this happened in a job where I had to be in an office all the time to show I was, quote, being productive. Repeatedly, I would focus on new tasks and think of ways to make the process more efficient, to hold better coordination meetings, and for a while, that helped reignite my passion. At some point, though, the spark was not enough to reignite and sustain the fire that first burned in me to coordinate a statewide readiness program. Working to reignite a passion for something you've put a lot of time into and that you've made connections through is well worth the effort. What is also valuable is acknowledging when the passion is truly gone. Here's exercise number 1. Write down what got you started in your current job. Do you remember when you lost your passion? Do you remember why or how you lost it? Now, keep this handy because it's going to help compile a whole picture and help you make your decision as we keep going. Number 2 is you're being or you feel undervalued. Being and feeling aren't necessarily the same thing, right? In a career setting, on the street or in an office, meaning like your public safety or you're an office person or hospital, wherever, feeling undervalued often comes in the form of not being recognized, not just by your leaders, but by your peers, from not being given opportunities for more pay, a promotion, not being included maybe in more strategic efforts for your area, or when you're passed over for a promotion. And knowing your worth and advocating for yourself is critical. It's also very important to be realistic with ourselves and then to take chances. We need to ask ourselves, right? Pillar 1, ownership. Do we deserve the same recognition or is it our ego making noise? That's a real question. I had to ask myself that, and sometimes it was a little bit of both. Sometimes I've put the work in, but I'm not getting it because I'm not in a, quote, leadership position officially. And sometimes I was just jealous, and that's not helpful. So by providing feedback, though, to our teammates and to our leaders, having crucial, open, honest, objective conversations, and by asking questions about opportunities we feel we're not getting, we can often open some doors that otherwise might remain closed to us. So this isn't a tool to convince ourselves to quit. This is a step to say, hey, maybe I'm not actually doing what I need to do and I should have a talk. Because a lot of things go unsaid in the workplace or in the gym or wherever. And if you have a conversation about it, it can make a big difference. Now, when we're consistently not given opportunities, when we're not included, when we're talked over, it's often a sign that we're not valued, right? And that change is needed. Here's exercise number 2. Write a paragraph that's a flow of your thoughts, right, on the career that you feel undervalued in. Review this with yourself, right? Just share, just kind of let your feelings out. Review it and consider sharing it with folks you participate in. Maybe not all the details of it, but this can be a talking point sheet that you use to talk to your leader or even bounce off your peers if you trust them. So in exercise one, we've talked about why we were passionate when we lost our passion, why or how, what made us lose it. Now we're going to talk about, you know, or we're going to let flow our ideas. Why do we feel undervalued? How do we feel? It's like a journaling exercise, but you can use this to help you. The third thing for me is that you assess more cons than pros. Realistically, all careers have ups and downs, right? We get to be involved in projects that are exciting, like opening new buildings or planning major public safety events. And then shortly after, when that exciting work is done, we might be asked to track data on spreadsheets for something else or manage equipment in a storage space, right? It's a huge difference in emotional highs and lows. The key for us, I think, is to determine if we're able to be more involved in work that uses our full potential, that inspires us and others, that creates a level of stress that we can live with as part of the job, right? Particularly if the negative feelings we get from work start to repeat over and over and over again. This is where we look at, well, what are these negative feelings? What are these cons, if you will? And we should consider, is the stress of this job, this career field, because there are many jobs that are very stressful, but it's part of a settlement that we make with ourselves because it's comfortable, right? Instead of putting our necks out there for the exciting opportunity that's in the world waiting for our talents. I've been in that trap before. There's a lot to say about being comfortable. You're getting a steady check. You have a flexible schedule, right? You're at a time where you have kids and a spouse or a lot of other stuff going on. You have to balance how all that works together, and something's got to give, or you have to say, you know what? This is good. This is good for me right now. And that's really up to you all. But at some point, you got to do the pros and cons list, right? That's a great simple tool. Take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, pros on the top left, cons on the top right. Start writing. What about where you're working now is positive, and what is negative? And then that's a good data point that can go with your, you know, journal that you've talked about as far as your feeling undervalued. And then also when you reflect back on what you were passionate about and how you lost it, and, you know, just putting this whole picture together. So you're building a case, not necessarily to walk away, just a case that's objective data. The fourth thing that I've considered at work and in other stuff in my life is the ongoing sense of stagnation. Particularly at work, right? It can happen when we do the same thing over and over again. When we're stuck in the same processes that don't work, even if we've given feedback and gotten feedback and we're trying to make it better, but we're told, oh, well, that will never change. Which is a wall to put up that others may put in front of us, but that we can have sitting there knowing we're going to do all this work over and over again and nothing's going to happen. When we're not given the opportunity to stretch our legs, if you will, or push our professional boundaries, much simpler, we're consistently bored. And not every job is super exciting. And if you're listening to this and you're just getting started in a career, there's a lot to be said for putting time in doing things over and over again for a while so you get the reps in, so that when you have more experience and you're more and more experienced worker, not necessarily just older, but just you've put more time in, you know what it's like to be working on the floor, to do that task, to run those calls, to make the copies like we used to do, so that when you're a higher level person making decisions, you understand the ground level all the way up to where you are, wherever that is. There's a ton of value in that. So the other practical expectation of stagnation is if you're newer, you should be doing repetitive things so you get really good at them. And then as you get more experience, that's when more of the stagnation can come into play. An exercise that I've undertook, I took it with jujitsu and I've taken it at work, is take leave, take time off. Then ask yourself, did I miss not doing that thing? Was I dreading going back to work at the end of or near the end of vacation? Pretty obvious. You know, we have those feelings. Additionally, be proactive, right? Make that list of work types and projects you're interested in. Talked about this and kind of being passed over or not feeling valued as much, but set up time with your boss. This is the part where we're going to take action, and I'm going to set an appointment to talk to you about how I can be considered for opportunities. Again, you have to talk to people. Hoping that it changes is not a plan to talk through it with the person or people that can make a difference and help you get past this stagnation. And here's going to be a cool little metaphor. The conversation will help you decide to stay and push past that little stagnant pond, or clearly tell you that you need to set sail for swifter and cleaner professional waters. Five, there's unbalanced recognition, right? And again, this is some reality, not just towards walking away, but with ourselves, this ownership, this reality. Not everybody gets promoted. Not everyone gets the highest eval scores. Not everybody gets special projects, right? And short of legitimate bias, by and large, I'm 50. I've been working for, we'll say 30 years, a little bit longer than that. Most of the time, people earn their promotions. They've built the work that deserves higher evaluation scores, and they've put the time in to build specialized skill sets so that they are then asked to take on special projects. Again, has there been bias? Yes. By and large, throughout the military, public safety, public and private, everything kind of work, largely the people that excel are the people that earned it. So sharing that in the work setting, unbalanced recognition, when it does happen, could come in the form of mandated limits to performance evaluation scoring. I've seen that in the military and the private sector. You can only have this many at this level and this many at this level. Probably an older practice, but it's, you know, could be happening out there somewhere. Playing favorites, regardless of a team member's skill set, right? Or clearly promoting an unqualified candidate, right? I'm sure that happens, but that's obvious. Some managers naturally gravitate to their team members, certain team members, right? And it shows. If you ever had a teammate get credit for an idea that you gave them, that sucks, right? So as an exercise, you know, for work-related recognition, I found it helpful to create a running list of accomplishments. What have I done? This way, both practically at self-evaluation time, I'm not going back and trying to find what did I do and how did I do this and what worked well and what didn't. Got kudos, and there's many different ways. You can use a Word document, a spreadsheet, whatever. But you can easily recall that work and toot your own horn more accurately, especially if you are going to go for that promotion. If you are going to go somewhere else, whatever, you've got a list of stuff to show. Here's all the cool stuff I did. A key there that's a good practical tip as well is make it quantifiable, right? I did a good job leading this team. It's not as effective as I led this team that created more efficiencies, that saved money. And if you could put numbers and percentages, that's even better. But you want to show your leadership or your participation or your contribution had a tangible outcome, and it was X, Y, and Z. So the five things to consider that I found helpful: consider your passion, consider your value, consider the cons and the pros, consider the stagnation, consider the recognition. And some people don't like to be recognized, but everybody likes a pat on the back every now and then, right? And that equals typically practical things like money and time and promotion and all that. This bonus concept is called the sunk cost fallacy, which a lot of people have probably heard of. And it really, the gist of it is we shouldn't cling to everything just because we put time into it in the past. And here's coming back to a jiu-jitsu parallel that I've reconciled myself with. I have hundreds of hours of grappling time, which means like wrestle fighting and locks and chokes and whatever for and against me. I've had my meniscus repaired, popped my ankles multiple times, dislocated my finger though. I did reset it, tape it up, and finish the round in the class. It was my old man kind of baller stuff. However, the time I invested in myself and my teammates, it hasn't been lost because I stopped doing it because of life, because of some of these other considerations, nor will the knowledge instantly leave my body. I'm still pretty comfortable knowing I can grapple somebody and that I'm in better shape for it. And at work, just because you've built a reputation, created nurtured relationships, and now have a comfortable setup, that doesn't mean the time you invested in the relationships you made are now worthless. Instead, now you have more skills and more connections that you can leverage in the future. I have been years away from being in contact with folks, or vice versa, and they've reached out or I've reached out when I had new opportunities for them to be references or knew somebody at where I wanted to go work and got the scoop. That's the value. So don't think that, oh, well, I have all this time, I have to stay here. If all those qualifiers we talked about before are on the negative side, think about that helped build me up to get ready for this next phase. As we close this episode, and when you consider quitting something or stepping away that you've done for years, that's a heavy thing to consider, right? More difficult to execute on that. It also doesn't make you a quitter. Quitting is something that no longer serves you, right, is in line with what I've called here pillar four, or setting boundaries. Instead, you're now evaluated and you've created a boundary between you and an activity or job that was mentally and physically draining on you. So if you're in a tough spot and considering not continuing with your career where you are now, review why you're passionate about it, determine how you're being undervalued, make that pros and cons list, look for opportunities to be less stagnant where you are, make a list of all your ongoing achievements, and consider if you're stuck in that sunk cost fallacy. And remember, hope is a powerful force, but sometimes a realistic assessment is necessary to determine whether we stick with something or it's time to step away. Thank you, everybody, for not stepping away from this podcast, for visiting hopesnotaplan.com, for following me on @hopesnotaplan on Twitter and Instagram, Hope Is Not A Plan Facebook, Hope Is Not A Plan YouTube channel, creeping up on that 400,000 views. Thanks, everybody. Fitness 15 seconds at a time, largely, and the podcast is streaming there as well. We're also streaming on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, everywhere you listen. Please leave a review, share. I think there's some good stuff here, good ideas from folks that have been sent in. Please stay safe out there. Know that hope ignites and action transforms. And I wish you all Godspeed.